Although this is challenging, look at your schedule and try and create the best schedule that you can. And that might mean saying no to your kids doing some activities. You know, kids do need to be bored and like have downtime. That's okay. That's where their creativity comes from. They're going to have plenty of time to do all of those things. I know you're going to feel probably guilty, or maybe someone's going to shame you, but it's okay. Again, find that community support that's like, yeah, mom, you said no to like the kid being on travel soccer and community soccer. Like, it's okay. So this way you can take care of yourself because you're that foundation, you're the rock. We have to have you regulated and healthy. And again, demonstrating having a healthy relationship with your schedule and with yourself, your kids are going to be okay if they don't do all the activities.
Welcome to Imperfect Momming. Our children are constantly looking to us for examples. The term role model doesn't quite cut it here. We are shaping their worldview with every move we make. You see, it's not in the lectures we give or moments where we are actively attempting to teach them. It's in the micro movements we make, the unconscious ways in which we navigate life. We are constantly teaching our children how to show up for themselves, their friends, their future partners, and even their future children. So what can we do to ensure we are raising thoughtful, compassionate, self-aware human beings? We have to become them ourselves. No one is perfect, but we can still all be better, and it starts with self-healing. Let's get to it. Welcome back to Imperfect Momming, and we have a very special guest today, Abby Sangmeister. Welcome to Imperfect Momming.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
So I've been a therapist and coach for over 13 years. I work with busy professionals and parents to heal and break the cycle of burnout so they can live a fulfilled life. Maybe it's switching careers, maybe it's just changing relationship dynamics, making sure you have time in your busy schedule for you. I also work with women who are going through IVF and that postpartum life where you're like, I think this is what my identity is, or I think this is what I expected, and the world is not always what we expect after we have a child. So I also work with women along those lines too.
So on Tuesday, my very favorite restaurant closed. This is related, trust me. And I had a fantasy of what going to the restaurant was like, would be like that day. Very full of nostalgia and love and memories, and reality kicked me in the teeth. And that's how I feel like the motherhood journey is.
It's like a mixture of all the emotions at the same time. Like it's always like you're balancing two different emotions and like the polar ones at the same time.
So burnout is a fascinating conversation to me, mostly because a friend of mine is dealing with that at the moment. And I don't remember where I heard it, but it probably TikTok. It's where we hear everything now, right? But is that burnout is the it's tantamount to the like the amount of reward and sacrifice. Something along those lines. I'm probably butchering it, but what is that sort of accurate, or can you expand on what creates burnout?
I think pretty much the lives we're so bombarded with things that we should be doing or we think we should be doing. And there's this, we want to work hard and we want to do our best and we think that leads to success. And it does, but that doesn't mean that you have to work necessarily long hours. It's about the time that you're putting in. And so often I have clients who are leave work and then they're working in the evenings on things that they probably could have gotten done during the workday if they took a break. You know, I think of like sitting at my computer, there's times where I'm working on writing content and it's not coming to me and I'm just staring at the computer. But if I get up and walk away, go for a walk, go do something different that re-energizes me and grounds me, it comes together a lot quicker. Mm-hmm. And I think post-pandemic too, people are burned out about what their careers look like and the shift. And some jobs have had higher expectations, or we have higher expectations on ourselves. I was talking with someone last night about burnout being on our phone. And you mentioned like TikTok. I mean, social media is great for so many aspects, but we can very much get into that scrolling habit. And we don't realize that we're consuming so much information in a flash that that can contribute to our burnout. And I started working with clients at burnout, one, because I burned out myself thinking I was doing everything right. And I had people coming to me for therapy and I was like, you don't have a necessary diagnosis. This is stress. This is burnout. There's no diagnosis code for that. But there's lots of things we can do. And so for myself, burnout before having a child was I was working and then I was a competitive powder boarder, which I also loved. And I traveled. I was living my best life. I was going to the gym, eating healthy. I was on the water all weekend thinking I was doing it all, but I was doing too much. I never had like downtime to kind of rest and recharge. Or I did. And it was like an hour or two here and it just was not enough. And I think as parents, we're trying to do everything for our kids, for our careers, or in our relationships. And it's okay to say no to doing things and even telling our kids, no, we're going to take a few hours and, you know, go outside and just play and with no set intention or expectation.
Yeah. You hit on a couple of really good points. And one thing you said about success is that it does lead to success. But what we don't take the time to do is define what success means to us. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or we don't like, we have this abstract idea, kind of like motherhood. We have an abstract mm-hmm. idea of what motherhood's going to look like. But success and motherhood it doesn't line up to the reality of what it is. And for some people, I think that success could be defined as having a happy family mm-hmm. where, you know, all of our needs are met and our family is happy and we get to be happy together. And other people have different definitions of success that like is, you know, more centered around work but. Mm-hmm. We don't look at our priorities, and our priorities are going to help us identify what success actually means.
Yeah. And success, like on your own terms, not based on like what someone else who has the same career as you, or someone else that has the same amount of kids as you, or what is it that you really want? And it's not about like, you know, that old phrase, like keeping up with the Joneses. It's like, what is it that you really want? I think we lose sight of that. Especially if we don't take time to think about it. And I like to do a check-in with myself at least, you know, once a year, sometimes twice a year, like, where am I? If not more frequently, like, where am I? Am I still on that same path and goal that I want? Is that successful to me?
So you said that you experienced burnout. What was your indication that you were burned out? And then where did you go to get support?
So my body pretty much just told me, it was like, yeah, never mind. I was in the middle of a paddleboard race and it was hot and I had chills and I just emotionally, mentally, my brain was foggy. Physically, my body was like not recovering from workouts and races. My sleep started to get off-centered. And just things weren't coming, you know, like workouts and like just paddling wasn't coming with ease and it wasn't enjoyable. Things that I once really enjoyed just had no joy to it. So I really slowed everything down. I had a therapist and coach at the time, always had, and I was like, this is I think I've been doing everything right, and this is what happened. So we really dialed back like what my schedule looked like, my work schedule. I started making adjustments, my workouts. I had a trainer, communicated with them, and we changed those dramatically. So I wasn't doing anything that was as high intensity. And it really became about creating my ideal schedule. It took time to get there because I did have so many clients on my schedule and certain things planned. Some things I just was canceling, like certain events with friends. I was like, you know what? I need this time to heal, just as if I had, broke my leg or something. I really need this time.
Yeah, I've had days where I have, when I'm part of the Facebook group that connects guests and podcast hosts, and whenever you post in that group, you get inundated with people who want to be on your podcast. Good quality problem to have. And it took me several iterations. This is the sixth season of the podcast, with a season being 6 months. So we're looking at 3 years that I've been doing the podcast. And it took probably 2 seasons, I would say, to really, and maybe even 3 or 4, to really grasp that my limit for the number of podcasts I can record is one a day, 3 times a week. And so I limited my calendar to one a day, 3 times a week. And every once in a while, I break the rule for someone. And there have been days where I'll have, 3 episodes in a day. And I'm like, honestly, I need a mental health day. I can't do this today. It's not going to be a good episode. So, I know that I have that luxury. I know that is a luxury and that I have that. And but there's times that working moms and stay-at-home moms, we need mental health days, and we need to give ourselves permission to cancel some appointments or to ask someone to watch the kid. And what's coming up for me a lot lately is this memory of when my son was 16 months old and I was newly single. And I was with him 24/7 for 3 months with very little, if no break, is how I'm remembering it. And just having this moment where I said to my friend, I don't want to be a mom anymore. And my friend called my bluff, and she's like, well, I actually know somebody who desperately wants to be a mom and would adopt your son if you're serious. And I thought about it and I was like, what is it that I actually need? Because I don't want to not be a mom anymore. What is it that I actually need? And what I needed was a break. And I recognized that 3 months was kind of where I would hit my limit, where I needed a week off. And because his dad lived 8 hours away. So it wasn't split custody or anything. They would take him anytime I'd ask. But and I loved him being around, but every once in a while I needed that break. And so that was something that I was able to create for myself.
And sometimes that guilt of asking, I'm a single mom by choice, so asking, and I have an 18-month-old currently, and sometimes asking like, hey, can someone, like, I just want like an hour to myself. At the same time, you're like, but you really wanted to have this kid that you went, through IVF and all of these things. Like, I love spending time with my daughter, but sometimes I want a break. I don't always get the breaks that I want. So what I've done is I really have included in our days things that I enjoy doing that I can introduce her to that kind of regulates my nervous system and is an activity. I mean, I'm really into the Mega Bloks. I think I probably play with them more than she does at night. But getting outside and going for walks, and even though the walks and my hikes are very slow, it's still like out there in nature, and that really grounds me. And I know like I'm teaching her something that hopefully she'll continue doing as a healthy outlet. But it's hard, and who do you ask sometimes? It's tough to figure out who do you want to ask. And, you know, talking about like finding support and finding like babysitters or nannies and other people to help you, that's a whole other long conversation too.
Absolutely. And I've been a surrogate 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been a surrogate for 2 women who were choosing to be single moms. And mm-hmm. for a long time, I held on to being a single mom as the thing that was not my choice. When I realized that it was, that mm-hmm. I chose to leave versus staying in a relationship that was unhappy, it, like, that shifted a lot for me. Mm-hmm. But I held on to it for years as I didn't choose this. But in those years, I had, you know, the very first mom was, I was like, who would choose to be a single mom? But, and I, like, I, not in a judgment way, just in a, like, I can't. I would never have chosen it for myself. Mm-hmm. And then the second mom ended up having twins. And I saw her the other day. They just turned a year old in December.
Mm-hmm.
They're so cute. And she is just the calmest person. I know that, you know, she's got, I'm sure she has moments.
Oh, we all do. Yeah.
She's always just been the calmest mm-hmm. person. She just has such calm energy. And there's, I think there's part of her that was really excited about having twins. And I just mm-hmm. like, I didn't want twins, period, ever. I didn't want to carry twins.
Yeah.
They were identical. Carry they
twins?
Split.
Wow.
I carried the twins for her. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. It was very taxing for mm-hmm. me, especially mm-hmm. like I need some mental preparation. And it was like, I spent the entire pregnancy like reminding myself, I'm not in labor today, so I don't need to think about the labor part, because thinking about birthing these twins, I didn't want to do vaginal, and I didn't mm-hmm. want to do C-section, and since mm-hmm. they have, and I definitely didn't want to do one of each, mm-hmm. and since they mm-hmm. haven't invented teleportation yet, I didn't have a choice that I was okay with. I was every time they would ask me at the doctor, do you want to do natural or C-section? I was like, teleportation, please.
Yeah, neither. What's option C?
Can you get on inventing that for me? Thank you.
Right? Right? Oh my gosh.
But I had to stay in the, I literally every day I would start to have anxiety about it. Mm-hmm. And I would have to remind myself, today I'm not in labor.
Yeah.
So I can't think about it today, or I don't need to think about it today.
Right. Right. And I think that's sometimes what, you know, wherever we're at in motherhood is, let's just focus on this moment too. Like, oh, my kid didn't nap today. Oh no. What's tonight going to be like? If you're worrying about that, you're missing one, you're missing precious moments. And two, you're stressing yourself out. Maybe nighttime will be perfectly fine.
Yeah.
You just don't know.
Yeah. And what's even more crazy making is that if we do think about how awful bedtime's mm-hmm. going to be, or the rest of, or this or afternoon labor. Is going to be, we might create that reality because they're so connected to us.
Yes.
That yes. now they're going to have an awful evening because they're feeding off of your energy. So if you can actually mm-hmm. just breathe.
Yeah.
It's not tonight. Mm-hmm. I'm in this moment. She's in a good mood at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Then what if that created a more pleasurable evening too?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like just learning tools to regulate your nervous system.
Yeah.
You know, then it doesn't trigger your child. But you're also, if you can do some of those in front of your child and explain, then you're teaching them a valuable tool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My favorite thing to do is to, well, I don't know if you're familiar with the book, No drama discipline.
No.
Highly recommend it. Dr. Dan Siegel and Tina Bryson, Dr. Tina Bryson, they're phenomenal. And mm-hmm. I have all of Dr. Dan Siegel's books. Let's see, why did I bring that up? So one of the things that that I do is I recognize, and I think I started doing it after I read that book. I recognize, you know, I don't always stop my reaction. I don't like, I'll get triggered and then I have a reaction and then I stop and I think, what created that reaction? What was the trigger? What did I make it mean? And then I would go back to my son and I would tell him, this is what happened. When you said this, I made it mean this and that. And then I reacted this way and I'm sorry for my reaction. And that the first time he did that to me, I was so proud of him. I was like, there was never a moment that I've been so proud. I was like, he's learning from what I do.
Right. Cause like, we're going to have those tough moments. It's about the repair process and talking through it and not just going like next and moving and just like picking up, but saying like, here's what I was experiencing. How did you experience that?
Yeah. Or beating up on yourself.
Right.
Cause what good is that doing? Like,
oh yeah. And that's why we need like other moms to talk to too. Cause there's plenty of times where I'm like, or things like as a therapist too, there's so many things that I think about and kind of worry. And I have a really good friend of mine who's a therapist whose son is three or four. And I'm always like, hey, so I'm thinking this thing and I know it's like a little like out there and I probably don't need to worry about it. So can you just tell me not to worry about it? She's like, you're fine. Attachment's fine. Like you're good. That freak out didn't ruin the rest of her life. You know, it's great.
It's really good to find your tribe and, you know, make sure that it is somebody who's supportive. Cause the last thing that you want is someone to confirm that what you did was wrong. Or if they do, hopefully they do it in a gentle way. Cause we do things that are
in a healthy way. Yeah. There's a way to bring up like, no, you're off base with that, or here's a different approach.
Right. Yeah. Well, I love this conversation. and so you have one daughter from IVF, and so you also support parents who have gone through, who are going through that process.
Yeah. Because I feel like there's not enough. I mean, there's so many. It's like 1 in 6 women will have fertility challenges. It doesn't mean that they're going to go through IVF. It means various things. And it's a roller coaster. And plus, like, if they're giving you whatever hormones too, like that is a whole other thing. And your body's changing so quickly, you know, just from like prepping for retrieval and prepping for transfers. And just to have, it's nice to have someone. I know for my experience, it was nice to have someone to kind of talk through. And I love being able to like support women through that and say like, yeah, that's where that's coming from. Or here's some tools. And these tools are going to help you, not just during IVF, but during pregnancy and postpartum too.
That's awesome.
And, or here's some questions that maybe you didn't think of. You know, I'm a big advocate of being really assertive with your doctors. And if you aren't feeling comfortable with your doctor, like ask your questions and you can switch at any time. You know, I think a lot of times we feel like we're stuck with a practitioner, and I switched many times during my pregnancy because for various reasons, like you obviously didn't read my chart, or I don't feel comfortable with your answer or the direction that you're going. It's okay, you know, and it's okay to be assertive and you're not bothering a doctor. Some doctors might think you're bothering them, but it's okay to ask your questions and ask them multiple times. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That was one thing that I was very I'm probably one of the people that doesn't, I don't always have questions, but watching the mom of the twins interact with the doctor was something kind of magical. I was like, okay, so she's she's researched, she's well educated in this, and she's asking like all these questions that she would ask. And then what was really kind of kismet was that this doctor was a twin, had passion and was passionate about twin moms being monitored, and that both babies are monitored, and there was, it was, he was amazing. And we spent the first 3 or 4 months, I want to say, trying to get a doctor. The insurance that we had, nobody would take it, and the ones that did were busy or were and so we lucked out with this doctor being so amazing. And there was I was seen by a perinatologist from the get, and one of the perinatologists, when we said I didn't have a OB appointment, or I hadn't had an OB appointment, kind of lectured me about not being OB. And I'm like, bro, you can tell I have a 12-year-old son. Like, dude, do you have any idea how hard I've been trying to get an OB? The first time I saw an OB, I was 20 weeks.
Yeah.
I saw a perinatologist every month during the pregnancy, but I didn't see an OB until I was 20 weeks. And I was like, you don't have any idea how hard we've been trying, and what lengths I was willing to go. Like, I was willing to drive 3 hours to an OB.
Yeah.
But luckily I didn't have to do that.
Oh my gosh. Cause could you imagine like leading up to pregnancy and all the appointments, and then having, cause I originally had an OB that was further from me, like an hour and a half. And towards the end, luckily I'd switched to a midwife, and thank goodness I did, because like those, I had so many appointments being, because I was 41. And so I was, you know, a geriatric old lady having a child. I make jokes about it.
They need to change that.
I think it's
that.
Funny. Yeah, I know. I'm like, really? I'm like, here comes the old lady about, you know, I need all these appointments. But yeah, that's like, and it is tough. There really aren't, I mean, in my area too, like a couple OBs have retired. I was one of the last patients that my midwife saw before she moved. There was two midwives in the practice. And the one like up and left in the middle of it, because her husband got a dream job. And I was like, good for him. Like, I would have like hugged her and said, that's great. And then it ended up working out. I had an amazing midwife. And then she left. So people are like, well, who did you see? I'm like, I have no recommendations for you. I'm really sorry. Like, and the, you know, OB that was attached to the midwife's practice, she just recently retired from doing OB. She's just doing gynecology now.
Yeah.
And it's tough out there.
It is. Yeah. Is there a piece of advice that you want to share with the moms listening?
Although this is challenging, look at your schedule and try and create the best schedule that you can. And that might mean saying no to your kids doing some activities. You know, kids do need to be bored and like have downtime. That's okay. That's where their creativity comes from. They're going to have plenty of time to do all of those things. I know you're going to feel probably guilty, or maybe someone's going to shame you, but it's okay. Again, find that community support that's like, yeah, mom, you said no to like the kid being on travel soccer and community soccer. Like, it's okay. So this way you can take care of yourself, because you're that foundation, you're the rock. We have to have you regulated and healthy. And again, demonstrating having a healthy relationship with your schedule and with yourself, your kids are going to be okay if they don't do all the activities. And and also, you don't have to go to all the events either. Like that 10th birthday party this month, you can say no to.
Right. Yeah. That's actually, that's one of the tenets of, or the pillars of peace that that I have, that's one of the pillars is the chaos. And most of the time we're the ones that create that chaos in our, in our schedule because of the overscheduling. And yeah, that's really, that's great. Is there a book that you want to, or that's been instrumental in your personal development journey?
Whatever book I'm currently reading, usually I feel like whether it's fiction or nonfiction, I feel like I can pull pieces out. And so there's never really that one, the one book. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like my other answer would be like the book that I'm writing, which is like the journal that I'm keeping. Mm. Like I'm creating my own story and I try to write in my journal. Sometimes it doesn't happen for days or weeks at a time, but like I'm creating this story that whether no one ever sees it, that's fine. But like, what's that story that I'm creating?
I've asked every single guest I've ever had that question, and no one has ever said either of those answers, which was whatever book that I'm reading and, or the book that I'm writing. And I thought that that was beautiful.
Thank you. I mean, there's so many great books out there. Really, I can't pick a favorite.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, finding what really resonates with you too as a book. And the book you might read now might not resonate later, or reread it because you're going to find some things that are beautiful. And some of these toddler books, I mean, I'm like, wow, adults need to read this one. I'm like, every adult should have to watch certain episodes of Sesame Street. I'm like, the world would be so much better. Let's just like... we're going to interrupt the evening news and put Sesame Street on for everyone to watch.
That'd be interesting.
Like a few episodes. I'm like, oh, this is great. Yeah.
That would be awesome. And I love that too. I do the same thing. Like I get something from every book that I read, and I've really gotten into, celebrity autobiographies.
Ooh, yeah.
And the one that was, so far it has been the most impactful was Will Smith. And you know, because his dad was quite abusive, and a lot of people have the feeling like, okay, my parent being abusive was a horrible thing that happened in my life, and the respect that he had for his dad, it in spite of it, like he was still able to see the good in the man. I mean, that's just one thing that I thought was impactful, but also his dad made him and his brother build a wall brick by brick, and it took him a year and a half when it would have taken a contractor like a day. And it took these two teenage boys a year and a half to build the brick, and they were complaining about how long it was taking, and the dad overheard him and said, are you focused on the brick or are you focused on the wall? And in my life, the times that I've been the most miserable is when I'm focusing on the wall versus when I'm focusing on the brick, just one brick at a time. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's powerful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So where can our listeners find you?
So my website and Instagram is Evolving Whole. You can find me on either of those platforms, Facebook, kind of on there, but Instagram or my website. I do have a newsletter that goes out on Mondays that shares like tips and strategies to help with burnout, some like different inspiration for you, sometimes a journal prompt. And I did start the Ambitious Mamas Collective, which is a free virtual meetup for any women who, you know, are trying to balance that career and nurturing their child. We meet up usually the first and third Thursday of the month at 1 o'clock Eastern. So any listeners can join me there too.
That's awesome and sounds like fun. well, thank you so much for being here and giving us a wealth of knowledge of, you know, the things that create our burnout and even and some of the struggles that we go through, you know, in the becoming of a mom process.
Absolutely, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you. So there will be another episode of Imperfect Mommying coming for you all next week, and until we meet again, keep healing. Bye, guys.
Thank you for tuning in to Imperfect Mommying. It's time for us to step up and realize that our power is not in trying to shape our children. Our power lies in shaping ourselves into the people we want our children to model themselves after. Don't just do it for your kids. Do it for yourself. When you become a more self-aware, compassionate, and confident person, you and everyone around you benefit. For more information about me and my work, visit alishalyons.com. That's alysialyons.com. See you next time.